Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to Rosie on the House. Coming around back here in the garden to see who we've got. Looks like Mr. Eisenhower's up in the tree as he's coming down to join us talking trees this hour. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. You can also text in to 411-923 or email pictures if you need help with plant tree identification. It's info@rosieonthehouse.com. Your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years here on the great radio broadcast airwaves across the entire state. As we open it up, it's a nice day out there, man.
It's a beautiful day, yeah.
This is where they should really, really, really put me a big hinge window here so I can just prop it up and get that smell of the Arizona rains coming through. There's nothing like the smell of the wet desert.
Yeah, I love that smell of creosote every time it rains. And it's the desert plants really need it this time of year, too. You know, this is what we wait for after these blistering hot Junes. We're just sort of hanging on, waiting for that monsoon cycle to kick in. We'll talk a little bit today about how plants adapt to the desert heat. You know, unlike humans, where we can kind of move where we want to go. You know, if you're in Detroit or Cleveland, or you used to be, and you're just tired of shoveling snow in the winter, and you made your way out to Arizona to run away from weather events and certain conditions you didn't like, or like my two sons, who 10 years ago made a move to the Pacific Northwest because they were tired of the wicked hot summers here. Plants, unfortunately, unlike humans, can't run from their problems. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what we should do to try to make their existence a little bit better, because they have to live where they're planted. It's all about tree selection, being sure that you plant a tree where it can grow to its full mature height and spread without a lot of unnecessary intervention, keeping your maintenance costs down. But if you do have plants that are in certain places, it's really important as they grow to make sure their rooting environment, the growing environment below ground, is as healthy as possible, so that those trees can stay there as long as they can and achieve their landscape purpose.
And you always have a specific tree or tree function that you highlight, and for that reason, in the native and surviving the stress, you've picked the obvious.
Well, I have. There's one sitting right outside our window here as we're looking out. There's several, it looks like, right below you. I can't see the trunks from here, but it looks like there's a little grove of blue Palaverdes. This is our state tree, our Parkinsonia floridum, and they're amazing trees. They are, you know, probably typical of what we call xerophytes. Xerophytes are dry plants. In the Latin, the breakdown of that word, xero meaning dry and phyte meaning plant. Xerophytes are plants that are distributed all over the world, and they are, you know, adaptable to extremely hot temperatures. You know, one third of the Earth's land surface consists of deserts, but it's an amazing number of plants that have adapted well enough to be able to handle these extreme environments. And Palaverdes is a classic example of plants that can adapt. Some of the adaptations are just amazing. I did a bit of research to present a little talk for the Sunny Slope Historical Museum one year, and as I began to dig in and look at some of the adaptations that our desert plants have developed over millennia, it's crazy. It's just so cool. The small leaves is one of the primary ones. The little leaves are smaller leaf surfaces, so therefore they're going to be photosynthesizing less rapidly, giving off water in the photosynthetic process a little more slowly and more under more control. Palaverdes, of course, have that unique capability of actually photosynthesizing through the bark. You know, that bright green bark surface that we have on all Palaverde trees, very unique to the species. It allows them to photosynthesize through the bark, because a lot of leaves, like our Palaverdes, our acacias, mesquites, and others, and ocotillos, they drop their leaves in the summer as a defense against loss of water. And you think, well, how can they survive? Well, in the case of the Palo Verdes, they can drop even those small leaves that they have when they're under drought stress and then simply photosynthesize through the bark so they can keep the tree system alive but without an unnecessary loss of water. It's all about keeping water, in the within the plant.
So can you tell me, you'd mentioned mesquites there, and we've got Palo Verde, two desert trees, very doubtful. How come mesquites are so good to grill with and Palo Verde's awful?
What do you mean grill with?
Grill.
Oh, grill.
Mesquite grill. You never have a Palo Verde grill. It's the smell of it by itself. Don't put that on my meat.
Yeah, no, they definitely are different types of wood. The mesquites have a denser wood, and it's just the a little more slow growing. And the harder woods are better for a lot of purposes, not just for grilling, but for firewood as well, because the close-grained trees, which put on wood a little more slowly, of course, they're going to be giving you a slower burn and, giving you more energy. Palo Verde is a very light, softer wood, and it burns quickly just like pine. It's a, you're running back and forth between the wood pile and your fire just to try to keep your fire going because the wood's disappearing so quickly. But yeah, Palo Verde is not a great firewood or a grilling wood. Speaking of mesquites, they are another tree that will lose its leaves in the summer as a defense against loss of water. They call it actually a summer dormancy, where a lot of plants will basically shut down their systems, live off of stored water within the root system until there's adequate rain. Sometimes through those months of June or July, you'll see trees basically shutting down if they don't have adequate water, stored water. And then as soon as the monsoon cycle kicks in, boom, they push out a bunch of new leaves because they need the leaves for photosynthesis. So if they shut down temporarily in a summer dormancy, that's only waiting for that available water to be able to produce some leaves. We get a few calls every summer with people thinking their mesquites have died, and they really haven't. They're just in a dormant cycle. If you ever are worried about that, you can go out to the branches of your mesquite trees, even out at the very tips of the branches, and begin to scratch them with your fingernail or a pocket knife and see if there's green right underneath the bark. And you'll find out that many times those mesquite branches are pliable. They're just waiting until there's adequate water to put on some new leaves.
Because they are so well adapted, and because they grow fast, they are in a irrigated situation, extremely vulnerable to being blown over right now.
Yeah, the
you see it every time a storm hits. The first things that come down are the Palo Verdes and the mesquites.
Well, one of the other adaptations that our desert plants have, and one of the primary ones that you see all the time, is that they have a compact growth habit. Most of our shrubs or trees are like a large shrub in the desert. They're just a big mound, and that's for a good reason. One, those low-growing branches shade the root zone of the plant and lower the temperature and prevents evaporation. But it also provides a very compact structure so that the monsoon winds will blow up and over that big mushroom in the desert. And our desert trees are a testimony to the fact that year after year after year they can withstand those monsoon storms. But
in the nature, when we plant them, yeah, it's always the ones that people plant that get knocked over.
Well, that's right, and we usually want to walk under the plants. You know, how many of us have desert plants that are growing like big shrubs in the desert, and we can't walk under them? They take up a lot of space because they're sometimes wider than they are tall, and that can take up a lot of space unless you have a large acreage where you can let your trees grow naturally. Most of our desert trees, we limb them up. We start to raise the canopy so we can walk under them, and it can be more useful space. Well, as soon as we create a beach umbrella out of a tree, it's no surprise that they're blowing over in the storms because now the wind for the first time can get underneath that canopy and start pulling them over. And as you said, if we've had a recent monsoon storm, deep saturation of the soil, then it makes for conditions where those entire trees can uproot and fall over. And that's a real shame to see that across town. But unfortunately, we're putting a tree in a, like you were saying, in our own environment for our own purposes, probably not in the best interest of the health and safety of the tree. But if we do that, we have to, you know, make sure that they're thinned out. The canopy is a little bit lighter. Again, subject to more sun and less photosynthesis taking place. And I mean, you're starting to, you know, push that tree into a lot of stressful, you know, situations with reducing its the foliage canopy is going to open it up to sunburn. Less photosynthesis taking place, so the tree as a system is not going to be as healthy. But it might stay upright, but it's not going to be as healthy a tree. So there are, by the way, other trees that are maybe more suitable for a shade tree, an ash tree, a Texas live oak, an Acacia annura. There's trees that have an upright growth habit that are designed, they're actually genetically, they're better suited to have a single trunk with a canopy above. Our desert trees are not among those. You know, they're better suited for a smaller, more compact form that has lower branching.
And you'd mentioned that live oak. That's one that's, you don't think oak and desert very well, but it's a very well adapted.
Yeah, oak as a genus are amazing. They're widely distributed around the earth, and there's literally hundreds and hundreds of species of oak. And the one that does quite well here is the Quercus virginiana, which is our southern or Texas live oak. It goes by several names. And it does really well here in Arizona. And I love it. And it's a pretty low-maintenance tree and one of my favorites.
Now, people don't talk about mulberries very much because there was a time that you couldn't plant them or sell them. But they have the seedless mulberries now that you can. And I tell you, talk about a fast-growing shade tree that's trunk.
Yeah, sure. They're great, and they would become a really good shade tree. So yeah, I'd love to see that some of those really great fast growing trees with some new cultivars that are much more suitable, less litter, and not all the fruit problems that the old ones used to have.